You think about those words and think about what we have as God's people who've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and what an opportunity we have to serve Him. Thank you, Pastor Scheib, for having my wife and me to be able to be here. We certainly thank you for the hospitality. Love you, family. Thank you all so much. Had a great time at dinner today and the fellowship time, and we're certainly thankful for First Baptist Church, and thank all of you for the conversations and the being here for the preaching of the Word of God. That means a lot to a preacher when people talk to them and tell them that they learned something from the Word of God. That's what it's all about. So we certainly appreciate the opportunity, and good to know Connie and know her family. Her dad's been a friend for many, many years. We thank God for what he's doing here at First Baptist Church. Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. By the way, I did not like the snow. It did absolutely nothing for me at all, and it's just a little too early to be having snow. I guess you all are kind of used to it, but I guess the kids enjoyed it. I'm glad it was not below freezing, but we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to be here. It has stopped, and we can look forward to having a little bit later in the year. Let's stand, if you're physically able to stand with me, for the reading of the Word of God, and then I want to share a few thoughts as we wind up this missions conference here for this year. Proverbs chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 24. And you listen as I read. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Our Father, we thank you so much for the body that hung on an old rugged cross and the blood that was shed to redeem us. And because of your love for us, help us to love you and love that which you love, the souls of mankind. Thank you for meeting with us this week, and thank you for the time that we'll have together tonight. I pray you'll take me as your servant, cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Having been in many, many mission conferences in the 41 years that I've been a preacher, 41 years I've been a Christian and preached many, many times, you go into a mission conference, and I've preached in conferences where the crowd was as small as a handful of 20 or so and as large as 4,000 and sizes all in between. As a preacher of the Word of God in a missions conference, let me say from the very beginning, missions is spiritual business. It takes people who love God, love what God loves, in order to say, I'll go, I'll give, I'll do what I need to be. So I've never made it an excuse when it comes to the missions conference, because it is spiritual business. God's looking for people whose hearts have been touched by the Word of God, moved by the Spirit of God, to be involved in the work of God. So when I go into a missions conference, there are basically three things that I look for from the people that you preach the Word of God to. First of all, you're looking for people who've been saved by the grace of God to, first of all, give self to Christ. God's not hard up. He's not just looking for money. He's looking for hearts. So he wants every person to come into a missions conference or gather around the Word of God, bring a heart in, and nothing impresses God any more than for a man, woman, boy, or girl to give himself or herself to Christ. So you emphasize that. Give yourself to Christ. And then, because it's a missions conference, the second thing you look for from people, you want for people to give their support to the church. Why is it so important to give myself to Christ and give my support to the church? Because the mission of the church is missions. So if I give myself to Christ, then I will give my support to help the organism that God has created to be able to evangelize the world. All right, so we're looking for self. We're looking for people to say, here am I. That's why we preach. Have a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we preach on my service to the local church. And that's why we preached on the mission of the church and talk about the authentic plan and the assured promise and the available Holy Spirit. Then we get down to the point where this great plan is only advanced by the people of God. All right? And then how do they do that? Then you want every man, woman, boy, and girl to be a part of the team. Why? We've got a cause to advance around the world. All right? So the purpose of the conference is to first give self to Christ. We want everybody to consider that. Give my service to the local church, which is the organism that's going to advance the gospel around the world. And then thirdly, I have to give my substance to the cause. Whether we like it or not, I heard a long time ago as a young Christian, money equals souls. Missionaries can't get to the field. We can't start churches. We can't do what we need to do unless we have people give self to Christ, their support to the church, and those people who are supporting the church must, without a doubt, give their substance to the cause. Pastor said a few moments he never talked about money. I have no problems talking about it. Jesus had no problem talking about it. Bible talks about money. Money is the test of your spirituality. Not how you sing, not what you say, but you want to find out where a man, woman, boy, or girl, you find out what their love is, what they do with their substance. So it's impossible to have missions be what it needs to be until people give self to Christ, their support to the church, and yes, you must give your substance to the cause of getting the gospel around the world. Here's a practical precept, and I'm going to talk for a few moments here in the next 25 minutes about a little bit about substance. Let's end this missions conference where the rubber meets the road. Let's find out if people have really given self to Christ, if they really are supporting the church, then it will show in what you do with your substance to get the gospel around the world. Here the in Proverbs chapter number 11, it gives us a practical precept, a story about two farmers. One farmer looked around and saw the situation and saw how difficult things were and refused to look at the world and saw what was going on. And it wasn't an ideal time to plant, but it didn't bother him. In spite of the conditions, he sowed the seed and he ended up with more. The other person, thinking about himself, held on to what he had because of the conditions and he ended up in poverty. It's kind of a principle and attitude when it comes to giving. We find here that one person gives of what he has and always seems to have more. The other person holds on to what he has and he ends up in poverty. And we find here this is an attitude about my giving for the cause of world evangelization. You see, I believe the attitude of giving is shown by how I share what I have to get the gospel around the world. And that's a great principle that's found here about giving. But it goes on in the middle of those three verses I just read, and it makes this statement in verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, I'm an independent Baptist, and I've been all my Christian life. Usually the word liberal is not a good word. It just doesn't sound right sometimes. Now, let me talk about me, because I don't know where you stand, but there's some things I'm not liberal about, okay? I'm not liberal in my philosophy. If you're around me for a while, I'm a pretty conservative person. I'm not liberal in my philosophy. I'm not liberal politically. I don't know where you stand, but I'm not a liberal politician. I'm not liberal when it comes to music. I think music ought to honor God. It ought to talk about the Lord that we serve. I'm not liberal When it comes to standards, I think Christian people ought to look different from the world. So I'm not liberal in my philosophy, liberal in my politics, liberal in my music, or liberal in standards. And most people who are good Christian people are not liberal people. Yet I pastored for 30 years. I preached and taught and fought with people all the time who want to be liberal in their music, liberal in their philosophy, liberal in all of these things. And on you're preaching and teaching about people want to be liberal. Well, here at First Baptist Church tonight, the last message, I'm going to give you a biblical reason why you can be as liberal as you want to. And be spiritual. Doesn't that sound pretty good? Here's a way that Christian people in church can be liberal. And the Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat. The word liberal here is talking about being a soul of blessing or a giving soul or a sharing soul. So what we need to get the gospel around the world to advance it, we need local churches that are filled with men, women, boys, and girls that are going to be liberal when it comes to giving to missions. So I want to leave you with this thought here tonight. Pastor talks about increasing your giving. I think every Christian who loves God and every Christian who loves what God loves ought to be more liberal every single year than the year before when it comes to getting the gospel around the world. I increase my giving to missions twice a year, regardless of what happened. And I believe that the more we walk with God and talk with God and know about God and experience the love of God, we ought to love what God loves. And we ought to be saying, God, help me not to be just a token giver, but I want to be a liberal soul when it comes to get the gospel around the world. There are 7.4 billion people in the world. The more liberal I am in giving, the more the gospel can get around the world. So I want to give you three thoughts from this passage here about being a liberal soul that's made fat. I'm not talking about gaining weight. I'm talking about being blessed. God says the more liberal you are toward giving, the more blessing you will have in this life. I've lived that. I've seen that. And people all over the world have experienced that. How liberal of a giver toward missions are you tonight? That's what I want you to think about. In this passage, I want to give you quickly three things that the Bible says about a liberal soul. First of all, a liberal soul is generous in his giving. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. In other words, if I'm biblically a liberal soul, if I'm a soul of blessing, if I'm a sharing soul, if I'm a soul that's going to do the very best to get the gospel around the world, I have learned that the God that I serve is such a wonderful God. He's given me an attitude of being generous with that which I owned to give to him. How liberal of a soul are you? Let me give you very quickly what I call three P's of giving. The first P in giving is what I call paying. The tithe is what? The Lord's. The tithe is not giving, the tithe is paying. So before I can ever give God anything, I must first of all pay God what is his. The tithe is the Lord, has always been the Lord. So the first P of giving it has nothing to do with being spiritual, has to do with being obedient. All right, so I start my giving by paying. Second point of giving, I call proving. That's your offering. Will a man rob God? Wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offering. So if I'm going to be a giver, a scriptural giver, I must pay my tithe to the Lord, which is 10%, and I must give some kind of an offering to the Lord. Tithing is obedience. Offerings means I'm proving something. And then the third principle of giving is what we call pleasing. When I give in a pleasing way, I'm giving in a way to please Almighty God. I'm not only paying my tithe in obedience, I'm sacrificing to prove to God, but then I'm giving in a pleasing way to show God how much I love him.
All right, so how do we be generous in our giving? A generous giver, first of all, is a considerate giver. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposes in his heart. He's also a cheerful giver, not grudgingly or on necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He's a consistent giver. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He's also a church giver on the first day of the week. He brings his tithes and offerings into the local church. Why? I'm a liberal soul that's being blessed by God, and I've learned how to be generous. All right, so the first principle of a liberal soul is that he or she has learned to be generous with what God has given him for the purpose of getting the gospel around the world. Imagine what we could do for the cause of Christ if we had more men, women, boys, and girls in our local church that are generous with that which God has given them to manage for him, that we own absolutely nothing. The liberal soul, first of all, is a generous giver. But he goes on beyond that. He says in verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. If I'm a liberal soul, that means I'm a generous giver. I'm a consistent giver. I'm a cheerful giver. I'm a church giver. In other words, I realize that God has blessed me to be a blessing to someone else, and I want to be generous with that which God has given me. Here's what God says. A liberal soul is not only generous in his giving, but a liberal soul gains from his giving. There's no person that's ever been generous in giving to the work of God that hadn't gained something from it. And if we had time tonight, I could tell you story after story, just real life stories, that the more we increase in our giving in a generous way, the more we gain from our giving. Just stop, think for a moment. The Bible lays it out very clearly. Giving hands will always be receiving hands. Don't you know that God knew that it's one thing for us to be giving? He knew that because we're human, we get pretty excited about receiving. I haven't seen anybody yet that doesn't like to get something. Well, God said, here's a good way to get something. Learn how to give something. If you learn to sow, you're going to reap. The problem of oftentimes, we want to reap and then sow. That's not a biblical principle. God says if you want to gain something, learn to sow. Sow bountifully. We want to sow sparingly and reap bountifully. God said, no. You sow bountifully if you expect to reap bountifully. People all the time say, well, you know what? I'd do more for missions. I'd do more for giving if I had more. If you haven't learned to be generous toward God with the little that you have, you wouldn't be generous if God gave you a lot more. And I'm not saying when I say you, I'm talking about people in general, including all of us. Yeah, if I had it, I'd do it. I had a man in my church one time, he was a relative, came to our church and needed some help with his rent. And now I don't know what you do in Pennsylvania, but this is how I pastored in Virginia. The first thing I want to know, if a person needs help with their rent, I want to know, are you honoring God? Are you paying your tithes and offerings? Anybody that ever came to help, financial help in the church when I pastored that didn't pay tithes and offerings, didn't get financial help. I'm not going to take from some people who are honoring God to be able to help you when God's chastening you. The Bible says, will a man rob God? I believe when people rob God, God chastening them. You heard about John, that someone asked in the church, where's John? We haven't seen him lately in church. Say, well, didn't you hear? No, he's in the hospital. God's taking out his tithes. Watch out. God takes tithes what belongs to him. This man came to my church and wanted help, so I said, you pay tithes and offerings? He says, no, I don't. I said, well, we can't take from the church and help you when you're not honoring God. He said, he made this statement. He said, if I had what you had, then I would pay.
I said, no, if you don't pay what you have right now, you wouldn't pay if you had more. Reminds me of the story of these two friends. Had a friend by the name of Rufus. He said, hey, Rufus, we're good friends, right? He said, you know we're good friends. If you had $1 million, would you give me, your good friend, half of it? He said, if I had $1 million, my good friend, I'd give you $500,000. Wow, we're really good friends. I told you we're good friends. If you had $1,000, would you give me, your good friend, half of it? If I had $1,000, my good friend, $500 would be yours. Wow, we're really good friends. I told you we were good friends. He said, if you had $100, would you give me, your good friend, half of it? If I had $100, two 20s and a 10 would be yours. You, my good friend. Man, we really are good friends. I told you we're good friends. He said, you sure we're good friends? You were good friends. He said, if you had 2 hogs, would you give me one of them? Why you ask me that? You know I got 2 hogs. Yeah, God, give me more and I'll do more. What are you doing with your 2 hogs? What are you doing with the little that you have? God says you got to learn to be generous with what you have. And if you're generous with what you have, you'll gain from your giving. Because the promise is the liberal soul, the soul of blessing, the giving soul, the generous soul shall be made fat, shall be blessed. You sow and you reap. And God says, that's the blessing for my people. In 1989, I had a young man move up to our church from a place called Pine Bluff, Arkansas. He was saved when the University of Arkansas came up, got called to preach in our church, married a young lady in our church whose mom started with us, along with my family, and a couple other people to start the Crossroads Baptist Church. They got married. He became a deacon. He became a trustee of the church. He was and worked in the youth ministry, and he worked for Allstate. And then he worked a full-time job with Allstate, and at night he took a job as a security guard. He worked. He lived in an apartment, he and his wife, Missy, lived there. He would come to men's prayer meetings, soul winning. He was one of the good givers in the church, did everything, I mean, in our local church. I'd see him come down to the altar sometime, and I'd see holes in his shoes, and I wonder sometime, a man working 2 jobs and doesn't seem to, needs a pair of shoes. What's going on here? And never missed anything. We had a missions conference 1 year, and in our church, we pass out faith promise cards. We collect them all, and then on the last night, we read them out. Whatever the total is, we read card after card. And I always tell the young people, don't play games with God. Missions is spiritual business. So on that card, it says adult, teen, child. And I'm reading these cards out, and I come across a card that says $150 a week, teen. I just look around, and I scold the teenagers. Don't play games with God. We don't have any teenagers in here that's giving $150. I didn't have any that was giving that kind of money. And at the end of it, he walks this guy, Robert, who was headed up by our youth department, came down with a big smile on his face, and he said, Pastor, he said, that's me and Mrs. Card. You see, he was heading up the teen ministry, and he thought by teen ministry, he checked teen. He meant I'm in charge of the teen ministry, not that I'm a teen. This guy was paying a 10% tithe, paying offerings, $100 a week to the building fund, and $150 he committed to faith promise above that, worked a job at night as a security guard to be able to give beyond his tithes, offerings, and building fund to get the gospel around the world. 1995, we sent him down to Pine Bluffs, Arkansas to start the Grace Independent Baptist Church. Allstate transferred him down there. He got a storefront to start his church in. And then Allstate said to him, Mr. Hart, you're such a good employee. Why don't we get you a computer? You work in claims. And while you're studying for the ministry and preaching to people, we'll set you up a computer in your back office, and therefore you could do Allstate work there while you preach and prepare to preach. And he didn't have a home when he lived in Northern Virginia. Now he has a beautiful home, started a church, and men surrendered to preach given millions, I don't know how much money he's given to missions, but money to missions now that he supports all the time, started a church in Texarkana and doing all the things. I wonder if he did that because of the fact that he worked a night job so he could give more for world evangelization. See, he was a liberal soul. God's looking for people like that today. God says he's not hard up. He's just looking for people who have hearts to do the work of God. He says the liberal soul, the soul of blessing, that soul will gain from his giving. You see, the liberal soul is generous. Secondly, the liberal soul gains from it. And then he said, lastly, look at the last verse, verse 26, but he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessings shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. This is a story about the picture of a corn grower who holds back selling the corn when things are scarce, waiting to get a better price. And it's a picture of not letting circumstances dictate how liberal you are in your giving. And the Bible tells us that a liberal soul is generous in his giving, gains from his giving, but is gracious in his giving. He gives in spite of circumstances or conditions because he's not trusting in himself. He's trusting in Almighty God. You know what it takes to be a liberal soul when it comes to mission? God's looking for people who will love him, who will have faith to trust him, and who will rely upon his grace to help them to give regardless of circumstances, because getting the gospel around the world is that important to Almighty God. When you leave this missions conference, you're going to have to make some decisions about what you're going to do. And the question is, how liberal of a giver am I going to be to help this local church take on more missionaries, help more missionaries, get the gospel around the world? And the Lord says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. God says, give me some men, give me some women, give me some boys and girls in my local church who will be liberal in their giving to missions, and I'll show you some people that will gain from their giving. And in hard times, when they have no idea where it's going to come from, he said, I'll pour out my grace upon them just like I did those churches in Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 who gave to their power, their ability, and beyond their ability because they first gave themselves to the Lord. My question tonight, have you given yourself to Christ? Are you giving your support to the church? Are you willing to give your substance to get the gospel around the world? And if you have, then can God say to you tonight, I've got some liberal souls in First Baptist Church giving to missions. And God says, they'll advance the cause of world evangelization as a local New Testament church. Let's bow our heads in prayer for just a moment. I want you to ponder on this for just a moment. When you look at what you're doing, I'm talking monetarily. I'm talking about your contribution, your giving. First of all, you ought to be paying your tithes through your local church. You ought to be obedient. You ought to be proving how much you love God by willing to sacrifice and giving offerings. You ought to be giving in a way that's pleasing. You ought to be consistent. You ought to be cheerful. And you ought to try to be as liberal when it comes to giving as you could ever be. And the promise from the Word of God is, you shall be blessed. Can you look at your giving through First Baptist Church to advance the gospel around the world. How liberal of a giver are you toward missions in your local church? And maybe tonight, God is saying to you, you're not liberal enough. You ought to be able, you ought to determine in your heart that you're going to go further than you've ever gone before for the cause of getting the gospel around the world. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, then we're going to have an invitation. If God speaks to your heart, maybe you just need to come and say, God, you know what? I've been like that corn grower. I look around and see my situation, see circumstances, and I hold back. But help me to be a liberal soul when it comes to giving to missions. I mean, look what you did when you gave your son to redeem us. Our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for meeting with us this week. I pray you look at every man, woman, boy, and girl here tonight. And God, I pray you'll raise up from this local church some liberal souls when it comes to giving toward missions. Help this church to go further in its missions program than it's ever gone before, because you have raised up some people who are not going to let circumstances keep them from being generous in their giving. You've already promised they're going to gain from it. And when the situation looks hopeless, then help them to rely upon your grace, to be gracious givers, so that you can look at this church and say, this church doesn't just give the missions, it's liberal in its giving for world evangelization. Now you speak to hearts as only you can. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. As the instrument plays tonight for just a couple of moments, maybe tonight, this final night of the missions conference, you say, Lord, you know what? When it comes to giving, I am not liberal at all. I'm not as generous as I need to be. I'm not as trusting as I need to be. My circumstances dictate. But help me tonight to be a liberal soul when it comes to giving. If God speaks to your heart, you take a moment here tonight and let God challenge you to be more liberal in giving. After all, people fight all the time to be liberal about everything else. Here's something that has the blessings of God to be a liberal soul that God can make fat. If you need to come tonight, you take a moment. Pastor's going to come in just a moment. But as the instrument plays, last opportunity in this missions conference, I can't think of anything to be more determined to be than a liberal soul when it comes to missions.